before we got to the, we were doing a little bit of background. So if you take a look at the booklet that you have, we did not finish that booklet, and I want to finish that booklet. And then there'll be one side sheets, which is, so you should have a booklet in front of you as well as a double sided sheet. And we will try to tackle, finish up what we left off last week. So if you remember last week, we were discussing the Pris Bowl. We were discussing whether or not you really need a Pris Bowl today, because again, Rav Moshe Feinstein, we left off on page 3 in a tshuva from Rav Moshe, source number 18. Rav Moshe Feinstein made the following calculations that he said that we saw in Rishonim, specifically Ashkenazic Rishonim, that there were definitely communities that did not write Pris Bowls, and there were Jews that were collecting debt after Shemitah. What was that based on? That was based on the principle that they understood the Gemara that Bizman HaZeh, there is no Din Shemitah Sksafim, not even on a rabbinic level. The Gemara says himself is Gittin, at least on a rabbinic level. That only meant those areas that live around near Eretz Yisrael. But us countries like America that are not near Eretz Yisrael, we never had it. So Rav Moshe does sound like in the Tshuva, where we're dealing with a case of a very poor Malveh, which is ironic. Usually the Malvehs are wealthy, but he had a poor Malveh who forgot to take a write a Pris Bowl. Rav Moshe sounds like he would be allowed to collect, even though he didn't write a Pris Bowl. However, and this is what we need to look inside together, number 19, writes to Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Achshav, now, Loi Nagu B'Pris Bowl B'Medinas Eilu. We don't, the common practice is not to write a Pris Bowl. Why? Elo Shenoisim Tam L'Minag, everyone gives reasons. Shekim and Shenogu Kein Ligvois Kol Choy B'Le Pris Bowl Ach HaShviyas V'Aloi V'Yodim Mizeh Havik Ilu Histe Imoi Hamalo B'Shas Alvo Amanash L'Yashmet Haloi V'Choy V'Zeh L'Oilam. We learned, based on a Gemara, that if, let's say, for example, the Malva and the Loiva make up, not that there is no din of Shemitah's Ksafim, but we're not going to keep, meaning we're not going to subscribe to it. It exists. Of course, it exists in the Torah. We can't make it tonight. We had that in our Sunday morning show. You can't make it tonight against the Torah. The Torah says Shemitah knocks off the debt. But you're not saying that I'm denying what the Torah says. But we're saying that between the two of us, we're going to kind of sidestep what the Torah says. We're not denying what the Torah says. We're both agreeing to follow a different rule. So the Gemara makes such a distinction, right? Amanash ein ba versus amanash ein bi, meaning versus the din doesn't exist versus the fact that me and you are going to make up an agreement that's not exactly in line with that. Yeah. Right. So you're not allowed to go against directly what the terrorist says. So here I'm not going against what the terrorist says. It does, right? That's the chap. You're saying over here amanash liyish b'ten aloy v'chayv, right? So says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, even though that works. However, nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch have any good God fearing Jew should write a Pris Bowl. Why? Because why not? It's easy. It's so easy. So there's the Shulchan Aruch Rav. It's so easy. You should write a Pris Bowl. Then, if you look in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he also writes, Haskomas Rav HaPoiskim Mishmitas Ksofim Nehedes Gamiz Mazeh. We're going to get that hopefully at some point. I don't know how many hours we'll stay here for, but says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, I just want to get the major words. He writes over here that he writes the same lashon. He says, Avomisha Ratzel Ladaktik B'mitzvahs. If you want to take mitzvah seriously, Bevade Mechoyev Lasses Kadas Reva Poiskim, you definitely should write a Pris Bowl. And that's the same. Yes and no. We're going to see that's another discussion. Let's say a guy says, I know I don't loan anyone money. I'm not loaning anyone money. So we'll see, Blineder, hopefully on this next handout, what is considered debt? So it might not have been a regular lending and borrowing, but there are other ways perhaps to create debt. So I put it on the page as well. We'll get to it. The accepted practice today amongst Rabbanim is we tell everyone and their cousin to write a Pris Bowl. Even if you say to yourself, I never lent, I never borrowed, we tell everyone to write a Pris Bowl.
And the problem that we have today where nobody knows that they'll No,
there are, depending on how you write it. We'll come back to that. It's not the Edom so much. There's really, the short answer is it depends if you're Ashkenazic or Sephardic, and we'll come back to it in a few minutes. So, Belinai, we'll get to that. I just want to wrap up the need for it, and then we'll see what to do with it. So, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan writes that he also uses the terminology that he says that you should be careful to write a Pris Bowl. And just skip with me to source 23, he writes, he says, Umikomokam Hayore is Dvar Hashem Yase Pris Bowl. If you're a God-fearing Jew, so we so far have Shulchan Aruch Rav, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Aruch HaShulchan. This is all 18th, 19th century. If you want to be a good Jew, you should write a Pris Bowl. Now, interesting, Rabbi Yaakov Breisch points out something historically which I found fascinating. He points out that in Poland, they were not big Pris Bowl doers. In Poland, most of the Polish Yidden were not writing Pris Bowls. And the Menashe Klein writes, most of the Hungarians were not writing Pris Bowls. So which part of Europe were they writing Prusbels in? Lithuania. He writes that in Lita, that's where they were very machmir to write Prusbels. So in Poland, they weren't so machmir. Hungary, they weren't so machmir. But in Lithuania, that's where the Jews heavily were writing Prusbels. And that's what Menashe Klein points out in source 25, that by and large, the Hungarian Jews were not writing a significant amount of Prusbels. And the Litvisha Jews were still writing Prusbels. Now, very quickly, page 3 is an interesting discussion. Page 3's discussion is the following, that are we too late to have written our Prusbels? Is it possible that we should have wrote it last year and we're all a little late? What's that based on? So there's a sheet of the Rush, as well as recorded by the Tour, where they say you should have wrote the Prusbel last year. We should have written our Prusbel last year before Rosh Hashanah. Why? It's based on a comment in the Tosefta, where the Tosefta seems to write that you're supposed to write the Prusbel on Erev Rosh Hashanah going into the Shemitah year, not Rosh Hashanah coming out of the Shemitah year. We assume, it says in the Chumash, that the Chayiv disappears at the end of the Shemitah year. So this year is the end of the Shemitah year. But there's a Tosefta that says no. The Tosefta says you're supposed to write the Prusbel in the Rosh Hashanah going into the Shemitah year, which would have been last year, Erev Rosh Hashanah. Now, the assumption is that we do not paskin like that. However, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Lubavitcher Chassidim were very makbid on this, and Chabatskers all wrote their Prusbel last year, and they'll write another one this year, but they all wrote one last year. There's a stira in Chassam Sefer. Again, we're not going to see it inside because we're really short on time. There's a stira in Chassam Sefer. What was the opinion of the Chassam Sefer? In one tshuva, the Chassam Sefer writes that I always used to write my Prusbels on Erev Rosh Hashanah this year. Then another place he writes, I used to write my Prusbels Erev Rosh Hashanah of last year. So everyone tries to figure out, well, which one was it? Was it one? Was it the other? Did he do both? But the accepted practice is very few of us wrote our Prusbels last year. There are people who did. I'm not going to say no one did. I remember someone called me before Rosh Hashanah. He asked me, should he write his Prusbel back then? I wasn't that familiar with the sugya. I really didn't know. Now I would have told him, yeah, because we'll see tonight. There are quite a few Gedolim, like Rebbe Eliashiv and the Stipler, who thought we should have written one last year and we should write one again this year. Now, what would the logic be about writing one last year and writing one this year? We all agree that the dead disappears, Shemitah, Rosh Hashanah now. So why would I have had to write a Prusbel last year? So the way they explain it is, if you skip with me to the new handout that we gave you, if you look at the new handout that we gave you, we'll start with source number 2. Again, it's a shame because we're skipping around a lot of goodies over here. Let's just start with source number 1. Source number 1 is Rabbi Menashe Klein is referring to a tshuva in the Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer writes in a tshuva where he quotes from his Rebbe of Nassan Adar that his Rebbe said that anyone who doesn't write a Prusbel is not allowed to get the aliyah of the Chumash where the Torah talks about collecting during Shemitah. This is a very famous comment from Nassan Adar. Nassan Adar made this comment about a bunch of things. If you remember, when we learned Chadash, we mentioned that the Chassam Sefer says you can't give an aliyah to someone who doesn't keep Chadash where the Torah talks about Chadash. Nassan Adler writes, you're not allowed to give an aliyah to someone who shaves with a razor where the Torah talks about not shaving with a razor. Right, same thing. I guess if you're not from Shabbos, you can't give an aliyah about the parts that talk about Shabbos. So Rav Menashe Klein is bothered by that comparison. He said, whoa, what are you talking about? Not keeping Chodosh is a serious issue. Shemitah's Ksafim Bezman Azeh, there are plenty of Rishonim that hold. It's not applicable today. And when we learned the sugya of Chodosh, we went the other way. And most Rishonim think Chodosh is applicable today and you have to be makbid. So the Rav Menashe Klein asks like a kash on the Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer says, what? You're telling me that the guy who eats Chodesh is just as bad as a guy who's not makbid on Shemitah's Ksafim? That's a bad comparison. Shemitah's Ksafim, you have plenty of Rishonim who say very clearly, and maybe even the Ramon Chayesh Mishpat, that it doesn't apply today. What does it mean it doesn't apply today? It means after Rosh Hashanah, the Leiva has 100% permission, the Malva has 100% permission to collect the debt from the Leiva. So that's just source number 1. It's just interesting, the contrast between the two things. Because again, in the mind of us, none of us know Chadash, but, you know, Prusbel we're all into. But Rav Menashe Klein points out, correctly so, that the Prusbel might not be as important as the Chadash, because for the Prusbel you have who to rely on, they don't even need the Prusbel. So let's start over here, number 2, with the Sefer Derech Amuna. We shall learn more of Derech Amuna. Derech Amuna is Reb Chaim Kanevsky's Sefer on Rambam. So Reb Chaim Kanevsky explains, why should you have written a Prusbel last year? Why are some of us a year too late, especially if you're a Chabatsker? You might have been a year too late. Why? So he explains beautifully. He quotes the Sheet of the Rush. He writes, V'dase Rosh, the Chol Hashana Hashviyas Osu L'Tvay Achoyv. Comes up with a Moridik Sheet of the Rush. The Rush holds that this whole year, the Shemitah year, you're not allowed to collect debt. That's part of the din. Eloshem Hichzer Ein Tzerech Loimim Mishamatim. The only difference is that if the Loiva would have came over to the Malva willfully throughout this past year, and he'd say, here's your debt, I don't have to say, no, you're not allowed to give it to me. If after Shemitah year, if after the Shemitah year, the loiva comes over to the malva and the loiva tells the malva, I want to pay back my debt. So the malva has to tell the loiva, I'm sorry, the debt is gone. And then the loiva says, well, I still want to pay you, then you're allowed to take it. So says the Rosh, an amazing chiddush. Well, yes, the Rosh holds this past year. Yeah, yes, yes. According to the Rosh, this entire past year, if you didn't write a plausible last year of Rosh Hashanah, you would have no right as a malva to collect the debt. But the debt didn't disappear. What does it mean the debt didn't disappear? If the loiva would have came on his own and offered to pay it back, you wouldn't have to first go through the little game of telling him, you should know, by the way, you don't owe me the money. You could just say, thank you very much and put the money in your pocket. But you would have no legal right to collect the debt. This is as if you didn't make a plausible. I'm talking about last. But no, we're trying to explain why people wrote a plausible last year. The reason why they wrote a plausible last year was because according to the Rush, if you didn't write a plausible last year, you could not collect debt this year. Now, the problem is it's against the Chumash. The Chumash says the debt disappears this year. So the Rush says, yes, the debt doesn't disappear, but you don't have a right to collect it. It's an in-between level. I mean, the debt exists, but you don't have the right to collect it. And according to the Rush, if I wouldn't have written a plausible last year, I would have no right to collect the debt this year, which is a major, major Chumrah. Now, do we paskin like this Rush? So let's see. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, "Avol yesh isul tzvay dechsev leyigoyes ki karish mita dainu miyach karish mita." Well, the kain tzarich lichte prizbal erev Rosh Hashanah shishis dainu b'soif shana shishis. So the first opinion why people were machmit to write a prizbal last year was because of this Rush. Now we in Shulchan Aruch don't paskin like this Rush, but the Torah paskins like the Rush, their mishpacha, and the Rush paskins like the Rush, and the Shulchan Aruch Rav paskin like this Rush. So many people did write a prizbal last year. I don't know if you asked around how many people did it, but there were a significant amount of people who wrote a Pros Bowl last year because of this Rush.
And those people would have to write another one to be able to keep the debt alive?
No, because the debt would the debt would... Year eight, the debt dies for everyone. Unless you have a Pros Bowl. So according to the Rush, the Pros Bowl that you wrote last year allowed you to collect all of this year.
Well, that would be year eight.
Right, so then I would assume you would have to write another one for this year. But the problem is for all those people who didn't write one last year, if they collected this year, they might have been in a violation. But says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, this is your shaila. What about the loans during the seventh year itself? Even according to Rush, that you could collect this year. It's only old debt you can't collect. No. According to Rush, any new debt that occurred this year would be the same. Avol roiva rishonim cholkim ala rosh. Most rishonim don't agree with the rosh. V'sviyle diyachol letzvoya kol hashana. I could have collected the entire debt this whole past year. V'hachi kaimelon. V'yachol lichte prizba kol hashana. U'mikol makoim yesh midaktikim lichte prizba gam erev Rosh Hashanah shviyas. No. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, there are people who taka write a prizba erev Rosh Hashanah last year to be choshish for the shita of the rosh. Now, who are those opinions? Just to be honest, it was Rebbe Eliashiv. And the stipler, Chaim Kanievsky's father himself, used to write a prosbol on Erev Rosh Hashanah last year in order to be choshish for the shita of the Rush. So there were people who wrote one last year. Again, the rest of us who didn't write one last year, well, it's not really an again anymore because we can't collect this year because the year's almost over. So we're going to write a prosbol so we can collect afterwards for the upcoming year. Now, let's talk what type of debt needs a prosbol. There's a lot of different type of debt in the world, right? So what type of debt needs a prosbul? And without that prosbul, you wouldn't be able to collect the debt. So first of all, Shulchan Aruch number 5 is very important. Says the Mechaber, Hamalvis chaver v'koveyo lo zman l'esoshan. Let's say I borrow money from someone this year. I borrow money from a guy tomorrow. And with the debt is not due for another 10 years. Doesn't matter. Iska? Okay, again, it gets a little bit more complicated when we enter into the Iska world. I agree with you. Yeah, we'll try to stay clear of that just for tonight. But let's say a guy makes a mortgage, right? He makes a 5-year plan. So according to the Mechaber, there is no problem of Prosbol or Shemitah. Shemitah only knocks out debt that's due this year. If the debt is not due until next year, then there's no Indian for, meaning, either earlier or up till this year. If the debt is not due till afterwards, then you don't need a prosek. So let's say, for example, if I borrow money from a guy today and we make the due date, he's going to pay me in 6 months. I don't need a prosek. Or even 2 weeks, right? We make up after Sam Gedalia, which we'll get to in a second. The only time you need a prosek if the debt is due any time before the Shemitah. It might depend on how you structured it. And if you structured it that it has to be paid back fully before a certain amount of time, then yes. If not, then ein chlam. Now, we'll see something interesting. The Shulchan Aruch writes, first of all, you should know it's not so pashut. There's actually two shitas in the Gemara. This is a machoikis and makis daf gimel med beis. One opinion of the Gemara says it doesn't matter when the debt's due. Who cares? At the end of the day, the debt's forgiven. So there's two shitas in the Gemara. There's a machoikis mishayim how we paskin. We happen to be paskin that it's not a problem. We in Shulchan Aruch paskin, that's the way Taisus paskins and makis daf gimel, that if a person has a debt that is not due until after Shemitah, it does not get affected. It doesn't need a prosek. So that's easy. Now, here's the interesting shaila. What happens if, let's say, for example, I'm the malva. I lent the guy money and I told him, I want you to pay me back, at the end of the month of Elul. And then the guy learns the sugya and he realizes, whoa, that was a bad idea. Now that I made the debt due at the end of Elul, now Shemitah is going to kick in. So you know what I'll do? I'll extend the debt. I'll say, you know what? I want you to pay me Gimel Tishrei. Just solve myself a problem. That's if he pays me up. Now, that's when the debt is due. This guy is playing games. He doesn't have the money. He's schlepping it out. So if I just extend it into Tishrei, I just bought myself a non-Shemitah issue. So the question is the Malva allowed to extend the payment time without Loiva's consent? Now, normally, any Loiva would love an extension on a payment, except this case. Why? Because now when the Malva extends the time, now the Loiva gets stuck with it. If the date stays, the end of Elul, so the end of Elul goes and you go into Rosh Hashanah, Shemitah knocks off the debt, if he doesn't write a prosbul. But now when the Malva extended the payment date into Tishrei, so now the Loiva lost out on Shemitah knocking off his debt. The Malva or the Loiva? The Malva. So that's a machloekes place. Does the Malva have the right? Now, if the Loiva agrees, okay, everyone agrees, we can do it. What happens if the Loiva says absolutely not? Now, it's a ridiculous thing because most Loivas, right, which Loiva doesn't want an extension on his debt? But here, the extension hurts him. So many Achrayim say, I'll prove to you that the Malva cannot extend the date of the loan. Why? Because if the Malva... No, but why would we ever need Prosbul? If the Malva can change the date of the loan, we would never need a Prosbul. We would just tell every Malva, extend the date of your loan. Since Hillel had to go make this whole Prosbul, it must be that you can't do that. So if you take a look at number 5b, he discusses it. Rashi, Rabbi Gavriel Tzinner brings it. This is a big machloikas Rishayim, really. Achrayim. Rashi ha-malva la-harichas as mana peren shenikva b'shas alva. The malva has permission to extend the payment date from the original time of the loan, but he wrote in a loiva without consent of the loiva. Even though this will cause that Shemitah will not affect the debt, and now the loiva is going to have to pay. Some people say no. She'ein ha-malva rashi la-harichas as mana peren shenikva b'shas alva. The malva has no right to extend the payment of the loan at the time when they made up the loan, without permission of the loiva. Now, what's the raya? The raya is, because if the malva can do that against the will of the loiva, why do we need a prosbul? Tell every malva, I'm just extending the time, and therefore, there'll never be a problem of Shemitah. Again, we have to see in a second what type of debt are we talking about. All right, so we have to figure out, again, right now we're talking the simplest form of debt, a lend, a borrowing. Loiva malva. I borrowed $10 from you, $15, simple, simple, simple. So that I got interest-free, simple, simple, keep everything very simple. A guy needs a couple thousand dollars to do something. He borrows from his friend. He says, pay me back, chaf hei elu. Great, so now the debt is due before Shemitah. The guy doesn't get around to it. So the loiva says to himself, 1 second, chaf hei elu. If the debt is due before Shemitah, I just, it's like a football game. Just wait the clock out and then you win. So the Malva says, no, I switch it. I want the debt is due, hey, Tishrei. The Loiva says, no, it's not what we made up at the time of the loan. So the Malva says, I can do what I want. So that's his machloikis. But if the Malva can do that, then we wouldn't need a prosbul. Every Malva should just do that and we can bypass prosbul. So that's question number one. It shouldn't, right. So, no, the loan itself was written. The question is, we made up at the time of the loan that you'll pay me back. So that's a right. That's a machlokes. Is the malva in the driver's seat? No. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's the raya that it can't be true. Because then Hillel wouldn't have to make, sit down and made a prosbul. He should have just told every malva, just extend the debt and you don't have to worry. Now let's talk a little bit about what type of debt is included in Shemitah. Meaning, what type of debt do you have to worry about that you would feel the urge to write a prosbul? So Shlomo Zalman talks about a very interesting shiloh. Let's say two guys borrow money from each other and they never really make up a date to pay me back. Let's say Reuven lends Shimon money, lends him, I don't know, $10,000. So he says, when are you going to pay me back? He says, when I need the money, you'll pay me back. But I need the money. Would Shemitah knock off such a debt? Now, I never gave a time to it. I said, when I need the money, you'll pay me back. So if you look at Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes at number six, interesting. He says, Miu, im kovez man haperoin kishashidech es benoye kishashidech liknei bayis. If I structured in the loan, I said, you know when you should pay me back? When I need the money. I'm making a chasana for my kid and I have to buy a house, then pay me back. So when is the timeline for that? You didn't use a date, you didn't use a year, you didn't use any specific time. The shaper choshev mamish kikriyaz man, achatam shekosav nesho yochol utvoya koidem, the choshev mishum ka choyv shebol lechwal magisha, the choyku be'enai, dochuku be'enai. So the fellow wanted tiny tib shalom bezalman. I made a time. I didn't leave it open-ended. I gave the time is when I need it. So what? At the end of the day, if you don't come collect it, you don't need it before Rosh Hashanah. You're not making a chasa before Rosh Hashanah. So it's as if you never made the debt due. So if the debt is not due, the debt rolls over. If the debt rolls over, then Shemitah doesn't knock it out. So if Shemitah Zalman Paskas in such a case, if a loan was structured that way, that would not be affected by the Shemitah. Shemitah would not knock off such a loan. That was the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. What? All right, exactly. So if upon demand, if you don't have that upon demand, then it wouldn't be relevant. What happens, interestingly enough, let's say women. Very often women borrow things from each other. They borrow eggs and they borrow flour. So we had a share on this a while ago when we talked about ribbis, whether or not this presents a ribbis problem. You borrow this size egg and you return a smaller size egg, but you can't exactly get it perfect. You borrow half a cup of sugar and then the other one returns a little bit more or a little bit less. So in the Sefer Mishmeres Shvi, it's written by Rav Moshe Mosher Kopp, who's a Rosh Kollel in Eretz Yisrael. He writes a lot of Svarim. So he's a big time chacham. So he writes, let's say during this year, your wife lent or borrowed a half a cup of flour. So now she owes someone a half a cup of flour. Now, that's a choif. That's a debt. So would that be affected by Shemitah? You know, would Shemitah knock out that debt? Now, obviously, it's somewhat comical because I don't think any of us have a problem paying back a half a cup or whatever it is of sugar or flour, but he writes over here, number 8, 7, halvos oichlim, lending of food. Amanas l'shalom oichlim, v'en isha asha elas mechaverta, kikar lechem, shkiz cholov, aikilo isukar, harizek halvo mishamit. That's a loan. Now, if I borrow an object from you, that is not affected by Shemitah. Right? If I borrow your car, you know, before the end of Rosh Hashanah, and then you say, give it back to me after Rosh Hashanah, I say, no, Shemitah knocks it off. No. Shemitah doesn't knock off things that belong to you. Shvius knocks off debt. This is not a debt. It's piktoini. You have my object. Give me back my object. That's not the same thing as a debt. Debt means I owe you money. So here he says that if I lent you flour, so now you're not going to give me back the same flour. You owe me flour. So it's a debt. You're indebted to me now for the flour. So he thinks this would be affected by Shemitah. So he thinks this is one of the reasons why women should write prosbuls. Because since women do these types of borrowing and lending, it maybe we're not talking about a lot of money, but we're talking about just in the premise of borrowing and lending in the kitchen. He thinks for this reason, that would be considered debt. Because again, I'm not giving you back the actual thing. And it might be the gate to ribbis also, as we spoke about before, but assuming that it's basically a debt of flour, a debt of sugar. So that's the same thing as money. It's just in a form of sugar. So you would have to write a prosbul if you wanted to demand that back from your neighbor. So that's what we spoke about. So that's what he talks about in the footnote. I didn't put it on. He says at some point we ask ourselves, is it really a borrowing and lending or is it a gift? And that's where we spoke about it when we talked about the sugya of ribbis. Is it really lending or is basically I'm gifting it to you because, right? So that's what he talks about in the footnote, that at some point it loses that shame halva and it just returns a maltan. Right, I agree. No, for sure not. Hill was talking about, we'll see in the Gemara in a few minutes, Hill was talking about money and aniyim. He wasn't talking about this. But at the end of the day, if this is legally considered a loan, we got to follow the rules. Now, obviously, for this one, it's easy. it's not hard for everyone to pay back and be happy. Now, again, it's kedai to emphasize a lot. Rav Moshe Weiss has a whole share on this topic that the Mishnah says very clearly in Shviyas that even if, let's say a guy doesn't write a prosbo and Shemitah knocks off the debt, the right thing is, and we spoke about this last week, is that the loivish should offer to pay anyway. It's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Shviyas. The loivish should still offer. And the Malva tells him you don't have to, and the Leiva says, I know, and the Leiva should take it, and that's the way it all ends. So it doesn't really end with, you know, debt just disappearing. It really ends that everyone pays the debt anyways, just they have to go through certain, games, not games, but certain procedures before they do it. So again, with the flour and the sugar and the housewives, it's a lot easier. Everyone's just going to give it back. And again, if you have a firmer wife, she'll say, like, no, you don't owe it to me. Then the wife will say, no, I wrote a prosbo. So, whatever the conversation will look like. Or she'll say, you're right, I don't know what to you, but I want it anyways. And then you'll say, Mishamatani and Ruach HaChamim Noichahimet. What about, this is the more tricky type of debt. Let's say a grocery store. And I used to live in Kew Gardens. There's a grocery store there, They used to lend out, people used to buy all the time on credit. Everyone had to build it. I don't like doing it because I know I don't trust my kids. I think they're going to go to the grocery store. By the time I'm done, I'll have a bill of $500. I don't even know about it. So I don't let my kids do it because I'm afraid. But a lot of people do it. Huh? Right. That's normal. Right? So you have a line of credit in the grocery store. Every time you go to the grocery store, they put it on your bill, your tab, whatever it's called. What happens now? Shemitah comes. Would you have to write a prosbo for them? So it's what type of structured loan is that? It's not a loan. They didn't give me money. It's food. They gave me food. And it's a credit. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch Mamash talks about this case. It's amazing. Chayshe Mishpat, number 8. Again, I told you that the bulk of Shemitah's Ksaf and Prusbo is Simon Pei Zayin in Chayshe Mishpat. If you want to learn that Simon well, Simon Pei Zayin, writes the Mechaber, HaKofas Chanus. What's HaKofas Chanus? So he writes in parentheses, Shekoneh Be'amona. You buy on the store. I mean, it's not a new thing to go shopping for food on credit. This was a practice already in the times of the Mechaber. Eina Mishametas. That loan does not get knocked off. He wants the money. Right? He never lent you money, right? He didn't lend you money. Exactly. It's a very interesting way of looking at it. It's not your typical loan of here's money. He gave. It's again, it might be more similar to the case of the women with the food, right? Right? It's similar to that, maybe. He gave you goods. In return for the goods, you owe him money. Right? We'll see the next case. Let's, for example, wages to your workers. Is wages to your workers halva? You don't lend the money. There's no borrowing involved. There's a schayivus, right? Let's, for example, a guy was going to, let's say someone was mazik someone before Rosh Hashanah. Guy breaks someone's window. And then he doesn't pay him until after Rosh Hashanah. He says, no, I'm sorry, Shemitah, I don't have to pay you. No, that's not a loan. That's a mamonis schayivus. That's a liability, right? It's a different type of structured schayivus. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that would not knock off, but the imzak for all of the milveh, but if you turn it into a debt, then mishametah. So how do you do that? We'll see in a second how you turn that.
Says the Ramah, umit nizikifa.
How do you do that? Mishah shekavah lozman leperoya. The moment the storekeeper says, okay, time to pay up the debt, now it just turned into debt. So if, let's say, for example, the storekeeper would send you an email this week and say, oh, by the way, you have to pay up your bill now. A statement, right? That's the next shot. The yeshayimim demit nizikifa miyat shekazah bepin kasek, kol hachesh biyachad. When he puts together how much you owe him, while it's an ongoing credit, nothing's due yet. The moment he takes a tally, which today would probably happen at the same time, boom, then it turns into debt. So according to this Ramah, if you have an outstanding bill at a grocery store and he sends you the bill sometime this week, then it turns into a milveh. So there, it's the same, it would be a similar idea, service is rendered. So let's look at the next case in Shulchan Aruch. Schar Sochir, payment for a worker. What's that considered? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Einei Mishamit. That does not get knocked off with Shemitah, unless the imzak fall of the milveh, Levitaka turned it into a debt, which would mean he sends you a bill, then Mishamit. Then it does get knocked off. So again, it would sound like, right, Jay, it's a good question. Let's say you have a doctor's bill. So would that Shemitah knock that off? So again, it only works if your doctor's Jewish. Shemitah's only Jew to Jew. That's, first of all, we should just speak that out. Jew to Goy Shemitah. That's right. Jewish doctor, Jewish lawyer, Jewish accountant. There you go. So if you're using Jewish, so then this could be relevant. So again, so it might be kedai to write a prosbo for that. If you have debt for a doctor, you have a debt for a contractor, again. So again, but the Shulchan Aruch says, if it's zok for Allah of the milveh, If you do the same thing you do with the grocery store, you turn it into a debt, so then it would be affected by... That's the Shulchan Aruch writes. Okay. Right. Again, but how do you do that? By sending him a bill. So the moment you send him a bill, you just turned it into a debt. Correct. Correct. That's what says in Shulchan Aruch, right? Right. So don't send him a bill. Right.
Depends on you. Like, for instance, where I buy my supplies, I can put them on account.
So as long
expected that I'm
going to. No. So as long as he doesn't take a tally and say you owe him the money, so it's not a problem. That's right. Shemitah. That's right. So, no. Right. The moment he sends the bill this week, then it's debt, and then the debt would get knocked off by Shemitah. No, that's only according to the Rush. The Rush held last year, this whole year, you can't collect any debt. We assume not like that. We assume that any debt that you wanted, so if you send the guy the bill this week, so then you turned it into a milva, then Shemitah would knock it out. If you send him a bill next week, so then it's not affected by Shemitah. Any time before Rosh Hashanah. So that's a big shaila. Let's say a guy loans someone, I make a loan 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara has a rule that an average halva is not due for 30 days. So do you say same thing also? So if I borrowed the money 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, I sneak in, you know, what do you say? No, here we don't say stam halva shleshim yet. But if you set the guy a bill, zok follow the milva, you structure it, that the debt is due tomorrow, the debt is due Friday. According to the Mechaba, you turned it into a milva. If you turned it into a milva, Shemitah would knock it off unless you have a problem. If you don't get, as long as you don't present it before, so what is the Lashon Ramah? The Ramah said, either you kaveh lo izman the prayer, you set up a time to pay, or you write in the pinkase, call a cheshbon yachid. You basically take tally of what he owes you. You make a cheshbon. We call that billing today. It's almost similar. For us, it's very similar. We do the same thing. Once we have the statement, we send it out. So it's a little bit of the same. Right, so if that's the whole vote. The whole vote over is that the debt doesn't really start. The clock is still ticking. But if you stop it right away and you say you owe me the money now, so then then you already turned it into a milva. The chap to these things are that the debts never do, because you keep on extending. But the moment you stop it, that's when it turns into a milva. Now,
does Rosh Hashanah stop? So if someone borrowed $500, he's paying back $10 a week.
So again, when is the debt due? So at some, once you stop, well I guess the part that's due right away will get knocked out. I mean, the part that's not due. Right. I guess again, if the debt is not due until after Shemitah, it's not affected. The only thing that gets knocked off is debt that's due now. So it might matter. I didn't want to get into this. Right. So the question is, how is it's not going to help you anyways, because the yeshiva is going to write a prosbo. So not going to help you anyways. The yeshiva is going to write a prosbo, huh? Right. The problem is, it's the credit card. Right, who the credit card company is. Okay. It might get a little tricky. So now that we understand the impetus behind writing a prosbo, now let's try to figure out what a prosbo is. Yes. Now, if it's written properly. Again, we spoke a little bit last week. It could be at the end of the day, at least according to Moshe, if you didn't write the prosbo, it's not the end of the world. But all the Rabbanim are all encouraging everyone. Everyone should write a prosbo. Everyone should write a prosbo. Even if you said, I never borrowed. But again, as we're seeing now, it's very possible you did borrow a lend, even not in the typical way. Right? Funny things happen. You hire a worker. It could be that you did turn debt in a way that you didn't even notice you turned it in. No, it doesn't have to be Dafka the Sunday. We'll see actually that in Europe, the practice was to write it earlier, the whole month they were writing it. But again, it depends on your situation. If you think that between now and Sunday, no debt will occur, so you might as well write it now already. But if you think there might be debt that might happen between now and Sunday, then you would wait. The problem is if you wait too late and you forget. Of course, your line of work is writing it. Because you might do it, if you're going to do it now and you're going to do a job in a few days, that's not going to cover. The prosbo is only going to cover whatever was before the prosbo. So you should wait till I would say, till Rosh Hashanah. Right, so now the question is if the debt is due at the time of services. Okay, so let's see. What was the whole idea of prison? Yeah, because it could be it was zak for love and milva based on other types of things. Even if you didn't necessarily borrow or lend, like Shakespeare said, not to borrow or lend money, you still might have turned it into avah not knowingly. No, they don't have to be specific. So just that's why all the achronim just say, what do you have to lose? It's a piece of paper. It costs you nothing, doesn't take much time. You have nothing to lose in tons. Someone told me a story of a Shabbos where a guy had no idea that he lent someone money. Or his wife did it. We're talking about, I think he told me $5,000. And he talked it, didn't write a prison one. No, his wife reminded him that he lent $5,000. He forgot that he lent again. So, you know, this could be a long time, right? His wife forgot he didn't write a prison one. His wife told me, you know, we lent someone $5,000. And he had no idea. So again, so the truth is today, most Jews are good people. And they'll do like the Mishnah says, they'll pay you back anyway. If you get a guy. Right, I guess they must have structured, right. I don't know how they structured the loan, right, 100%. If the guy said, pay me back whenever you get the money, right, that's like Ibn Shammah's case. The guy says, pay me back whenever I never got the money, so I don't pay you back. But if the guy structured it, again, this is more negate for gemachs. These gemachs that lend money, they're very, very structured on how they do these things. They make a date, and you got to stick to the date, and they're very on top of it. If two guys loan money with each other, it's usually not as official, but if you're going to be lending, so they get... No, if they right, you wouldn't no if the debt would if it was right, if they gave you right if you went to a gemach 6 months ago and they told you pay back in the middle of Tishrei, so you don't right. Technically, if again there the case was that the debt was due before. No. We said if you extend the time of the due date, we spoke about a case where the malv extends when you have to pay him back. Here, right? If the loiva doesn't do what he's supposed to do, so then technically the debt would also be the same thing, right? Unless they made a prosbul, right? So now, what was the impetus behind prosbul? So very quickly, let's see the Gemara and Gittin number 10. The Gemara and Gittin tells us that Hillel saw a problem. Hillel lived during right before Bayisheni. So Hillel writes, Tanan Hossam, Prusbul, Ain Mishamid, that the Gemara says a Prusbul. It's actually, if you look at the Lashon of the Gemara, it's not a Prusbul. It's a Prusbul. Everyone pronounces it wrong. It's not a Zayin. It's really a Samach.
It's not a Z.
Huh? They spell the Z, right? Right, it really should be. Why says the Gemara? Ze'echem and Advarim Shehizkin Hillel Hazokin. Why did Hillel do this? Says the Gemara, Sheroa Sa'om Shenimdim Alahavi Zezeh. Hillel saw that people were not lending each other money. Exactly what the terrorist said was going to happen, to exactly which the terrorist said not to do, is what everyone was doing. Because why? Why would anyone in their right mind lend money to someone this upcoming year, knowing that Shemitah is going to knock out the debt? So Hillel said, we can't go like this. We have to do something. So what did he do? Says the Gemara, Amad V'hiskin Prusbol. V'zehu Gufei Shel Prusbol. So what's the whole chap of Prusbol, says the Gemara? Masrani Lechem Ploini Dayonim Shemakim Ploini Shekol Choyv Sheyeshli. It's a plainy. Says the Gemara. Basically, what you do is there's a Mishnah in Shviyas. The Mishnah says that you're able to give over your debt to Beis Din. Let's say, for example, a guy has 10 pages of IOUs. So he takes those 10 pages, he goes over to Beis Din, says, Beis Din, you're in charge of the debt now. So the Mishnah says, no problem. That debt is now able to be collected even after Shemitah, even before there was a Prusbul, because this is Beis Din. Beis Din has a different rules. They're allowed to collect debt. So they can collect debt, or I can collect debt on behalf of Beis Din, and Beis Din gives me the money, and that's how we get around. So what Hillel did was, Hillel said every Tom, Dick, and Harry can give over his debt to Beis Din, even if he doesn't have the legal documents, even if he's not standing in front of Beis Din. He writes this paper that I'm officially giving over all my debt to Beis Din, and now it's Beis Din's problem, and now I'm allowed to collect it. That's basically the short answer of a prosbul. Correct. This would be the same thing. Exactly. That's right. But Shemitah's Kesavim doesn't apply to Beis Din.
So why don't you get $80
when you get paid back? I don't write it. Because Beis Din gives it to me. They don't write. So they give me permission to collect the debt on their behalf.
So one second, so why don't you have to do that? Why don't you have to say, this guy $5,000?
So Lichat Chila, you should. That's the way it used to be. The real way was you gave the entire stack of IOUs straight to the Beis Din. That was part of Hillel's takana. Hillel knew that people are not going to be able to do that, especially when we have milva alpez and milva bishtars. There's two ways of loaning money. You can loan money without any papers. So then what are you going to do? You don't remember. I lent the guy $5 yesterday. So that was part of Hillel's chap. He broadened the accessibility that even if you don't remember all the details. So that's a big machloikis rishayim. That's a machloikis rishayim. If you remember last week, we quoted a Bach where the Bach wants to say maybe not. Maybe even if you hold that Shemitah's Ksafim is deraisa, it still works under the banner of Hefker Bezin Hefker. That's the way the Bach wanted to learn Pshat in the Torah. But yes, it's a lot easier if you hold Shemitah's Ksafim is only derabon. It makes things a lot easier, 100%, but not Mukhar. Right, but not if you hold that Hefker Bezin Hefker can work, even on a deraisa level. So the Bach mentioned that, and last week we saw that Bach. Now, very quickly over here, if you look in the Gemara number 11, the Gemara in Gittin writes, my prusbo, what's the word prusbo mean? Amar of Chizda, prus, bully, ubuti. Prus, Rashi says, means a takana. It's a takana for the bully and the booty. Who's the bully and the booty? Bully, elu ashirim. So prusbo means this was instituted for the wealthy. The Chziv Shavati is gan uskan. Now, why is this an institution? Why is this instituted for the wealthy? Because now the wealthy be willing to lend money now. Till now, the wealthy said, I'm not lending any money because I'm afraid if I lend money in the sixth year, I'll never get, and in the seventh year, I'll never get it back. So we made a takana that now the wealthy people can sleep easy. They write this prusbo, now they'll be able to collect their debt. Now, if you turn to the next page in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch has a whole list of rules you need for prusbo. So rule number one is, if what happens, in order to write a prusbo, the loive has to own property. The loive has to own property. Now, the malva usually has property. We're not so worried about him, but the loive has to have property. Why does the loive have to have property? That's machlokes rishayim also. Why? But at the end of the day, the yeah, but you could be gavei from the taflon also. But okay, it's not something to get it right now. Is why? But the fact is, the Gemara says in Gittin, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you can only write a puzzle if the loive has kark. So that means if you owe, someone owes you money and he doesn't own property, you could stand on your head, the prusbo is not going to help. So what do you do in such a case? So first of all, what does it mean not to own property? So you'll tell me he doesn't own anything. Okay, so he's homeless. So the answer is if he rents, if he's a renter, that's good enough. So if a guy rents an apartment, that's good enough. So who are we talking about? The guy's not a renter. He doesn't own karka. So he's homeless. So the answer is yes, could be he's homeless. Okay, if he lent money to a homeless man. Or let's say, for example, he's a kid, teenage kid. All teenage children that live at home are technically homeless. They don't own a house. They don't rent a house. They have nothing, right? They technically don't have a house. Right, right. Or if they're living with someone, right? If you have someone who's living with someone else, does not have their own house, not renting, and they're not, or let's say a guy is, you know, between homes, I guess, right? He's between two homes and he's living in a hotel. Maybe that hotel might be a rental also. Okay. He's living with his kids. He moves in with his kids, whatever the case may be. Shaitaka does not own any property. So then you can't write a prusbo. So what do you do then? So then the Shulchan Aruch writes very easy. The Malve gifts the Loive some of his property. So I have a house. So I give the Loive, I'm a Zakatim, one bedroom in my house. Now the Loive has a bedroom. So now I can write the prusbo. But here's the chap. The Loive says, I don't want it. I don't need it. If you give me this bedroom in your house, now I write a prusbo, now I'm out. So I say, Amy, I don't want it. It's not a schus for me. Well, yeah, he probably stipulates a whole list of rules that would limit what you could do. So let's take a look in Shulchan Aruch. Right, the Shulchan Aruch. Ein kaisim prusba al ela hakarka. You have to have property. Bafilu karka koshu. Even if you own a little bit of karka, let's say a guy owns, you know, a little bit of some land in Eretz Yisrael. Sagi. Bafilu ein lo ela otzus nokav munach agabi yisaydei spaver. He has the classical case of otzus nokav. He has a flower pot with a hole that's standing on pegs. That's considered mechuba lekarka. That's good enough. Af bishay mokam yisaydei good. Afilu ein leiva klav yesh lechayiv oy lo orev oy le mishe chayiv kais good oy le meh they write over here afilu ein lo loy lo zev yesh le malva oy le mishe chayiv le mizakei afilu di acher you can be mizake it for the loyva through someone else afilu shaloy befanov even if the loyva doesn't know about it. So what do? I go over to a third party. I say, listen, I'm being mizake my bedroom. I'm giving my bedroom to the loyva through you. You'll be mekabelit for him. The loyva has no idea, but it still works. Says the Rama, umiu im aloive lefanenu, vitzeveach, v'eini roitza lezakis bekarka shalachayim, eim mezak aloi bakoch. If the loive is screaming bloody murder, it doesn't work. This only works if the loive is not here. So let's, for example, the loive is not in front of you, so then you can pull the shtick of being mezakin. But again, most people that you lent money to have property. It's only will be negay to maybe elderly people, homeless people, or children, teenagers. Teenagers are today people living in their parents' house a lot longer than they used to. So however long you live in your parents' house, you technically are considered properties. You property list, and you can't write a prosbul. Yeah.
Well, it's a corporation or an LLC, you know, they have is that also the regime? In other words,
that's the old issue of who the corporation is. Is a corporation so they do. I actually have over here I got sent twice. They sent me a beautiful pages of prosbul over here from which corporation is this? By some business sent this to me. I don't know who they are. Madison Title Agency.
Yes.
I'm sure. I heard the big firm guys. So they sent me beautiful pages over there. I sent this to me twice. So they have a special star prosbul for LLCs and for corporations. So they do it. That's it. Oh, okay. They sent me beautiful pay. Everything's so nice over here. You can watch on the camera. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. We'll go through their prosbul in a second. Now, so what happens if you don't own? Says the Mechaber. Hey, Shilu Makim Litan or Eli Kirayan. Let's say someone lends it to you. That's good enough. So again, if a guy rents an apartment, he has a rental house, that's good enough to have karka. It's only the guy who doesn't have karka at all. Next major issue we have to deal with is what type of bezin do you use? So we know when it comes to Taras and Darim, you take three guys in Shul Shain, that's your bezin. Now the three guys you take don't know anything about Taras and Darim. They don't know what the Darim is. They don't know where in Shulchan Aruch Taras and Darim is, but they're your bezin. And that somehow works. You know, we've spoken about that in the past. That's probably not the type of best bezin to have.
Nice, that's what people do today. The three guys are sitting next to you in Shul, and every Shul, they become your bezin.
Should you do that for your prosbul? The answer is probably not. So who do you take for your bezin? What do you mean? I don't have access to them. That's because we're spoiled today. Today they do all the work for us, right? Yeah. Now, what happens before they had these beautiful pages that they sent us? What would you do? You'd have to find the bezin to write the prosbul for us. We'll get to it in a second. So the Gemara says in Maseches Gittin, what type of bezin do you need? Because again, this is not a trick. This is the pshat that I'm giving my debt to bezin. What type of bezdin? Who's the bezdin? Who's the bezdin? We're bezdin. The three guys sitting at the table are bezdin. What makes these three yokel ladies a bezdin? These guys don't even know where chayshim mishpat is. Well, how are they a bezdin? I'm giving these guys my debt. They're not a bezdin. So the Gemara says himself is getting number 14. Says the Gemara, "Dama Shmuel, like kazvina prosbul el ibedina de Surya ibedina de Nagdol."
They have to be like the bezdin of Surya, the bezdin of Nagdol, not to be guys
that happen to be sitting next to me in Rosh Hashanah, right? So what's my bezdin? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes this: Prosbul ainu mishamid ve'ainu nichtav el bebezdin hachoshev. You need to give over the debt to a bezdin that's choshev. Dahainu shloisha bekiyim bedin. Three experts in halacha ubeinyan prosbul v'yaduim inyan shmita. They understand what shmita is. V'amachoyim rabim aleihem be'oisoyir. They have some form of control over the people, meaning the people listen to what they say. Meaning they have some form of authoritative power in the community. Now, the three guys sitting next to me on Rosh Hashanah don't have any power in the community. They go over to Reuven. They say, "Reuven, you owe us 50, the debt. Who are you? Fly a kite." So you have to have a bezin that has some form of clout, some form of power. Fine, that's the mechaber. Now, V'Rama says, "V'yeshayim dekaisim prosbul b'chol bezin." Name any bezin. V'nirali diyesh b'hakel b'zmanazek. Because again, the Rama l'shitasei. The Rama holds that the whole prosbul is. Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Where'd you see that? Shreis has it. Yeah, Shreis did it. His stuff is fantastic. So according to the Mechaber, if you're Svardi, you really have to do this legitimately. You can't just use three guys at the table, unless you daven at a really chashuv shul. But assuming you daven at a regular shul, so these guys are not bezdin authoritative power. So if you look, I'm just going to use the one that they sent me over here. So they wrote me over here a prosbul l'shitas ha-mechaber. What's the prosbul l'shitas ha-mechaber? So who's on the bezdin? So the bezdin is made up of Reb Shlomo Miller from Toronto, very chashuv yid. Reb Yaakov Forsheimer from Lakewood, another very chashuv yid. And Yisachar Doiv Akoyin Kahana from Lakewood. This is the bezdin. Why is these three guys the bezdin? Because these three are very chashuv people. This is for Svardim. No, they don't have to be here. They're not sitting here. I'm not. Again, first of all, one lives in Toronto, one lives in the other two live in Lakewood, right? So how's this working? The answer is they are the bezdin. The debt now belongs. Now, what you really have to do is they have to own this. You have to send this paper into them. Because it's a little bit funny. They own my debt and my debt's sitting in my drawer. So you're supposed to email it in or mail it in or whatever you're supposed to do. So somehow they have this paper. But they're becoming my bezdin. So that's good. This is a chash of a bezdin. Now, no, they don't have to get it before Shabbat. At some point, they should have it. Yes, we'll get to that in a second. But that's only according to the Mechaber, because according to the Mechaber, you have to give it over to a bezdin chashuv. So if I give it over to the three guys over here, I make them a bezdin, so it doesn't help. I didn't point to anyone specifically, but so basically, you have, so the Shulchan Aruch writes, it has to be more than that. Besides for knowing halacha, it has to be that you have some form of authoritative power. So if Shlomo Miller is, what? No. We don't want to use women. Right. It's not a question of how much they know. It has to be some form of Besdin-based power. Right, it has to be a Besdin-based power. So it happens to be that Shlomo Miller is the head of the Besdin in Toronto. Rabbi Yaakov Forsheimer is one of the leading places in Lakewood. So they have clout in what they can do vis-a-vis the people. Now, again, you can really, it's not a question, you could take the biggest gedolim, but if they don't have any, no one listens to what they say in the world of Mammon, it's not because, not the chosh, they just don't have any of that type of power, it's not going to work. So this is what they call a prusbul l'shita samachab. This is a svaidish prusbul. Now, we'll see in a second. You also have to have witnesses. You have to have witnesses, and then you fill it out. You have really three, or this one is machmir. They have three witnesses. Three witnesses sign that you gave over your debt to this Besdin. And then, so lichat chila, we'll talk about it, but lichat chila, we do. That's correct. The witnesses are verifying that you gave over your debt to this Besdin, because this Besdin has no idea. Rabbi Forsheimer and Shlomo Miller have no idea what's going on in Woodman, right? So he has a whole way of how to relearn that Gemara. There's a whole machlokes how to learn that Gemara, right? There's a whole different way of learning. Yeah. Need Hasbro. Good. That's also a discussion. If we had one more week, we'd get into all this nitty gritty. So you can email it, fax them. However, they should have it before Rosh Hashanah. But as long, again, their mind, again, the mind of these Rabbanim is they know that the world is going to be sending them these things. But we should try to get it to them at some point that they have them. That's what you need. That's if you're a Sfardi. That's a Sfardi approval. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch,
so Rabbi Yashiv is already bothered by this kasha. We're
out of time. So Rabbi Yashiv writes in number 16, they quote Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv says, you really need a Besdin that could do Hefka Besdin Hefka. Because that's the whole way this works. So Frek Rabbi Yashiv, which Besdin today can do Hefka Besdin Hefka? There's a Besdin today in the world that can take away someone's money? No way, you'll call the police on them. So says Rabbi Yashiv, number 16, Rabbi Yashiv said, there really is no Besdin today that has authoritative power to take money from anyone. There really is no such Besdin, let's be honest. Even these Rabbanim are wonderful people, but if they came knocking on your door and said, you owe Reuven money, you would tell them, you know, you'd lock the door on them, right? No Besdin, not Besdin of America. All these Batei Dinim are somewhat limited in their power. Says Rabbi Yashiv, no what, so what? The Daibi Bezdin are ruining the Shluchim Shal Kadmoyt. Says Rabbi Yashiv Enech Rami. The Batei Dinim that we're going to put up are not really, really what the Mechaber needs. What the Mechaber needs is a lot better than what we're going to produce, but it's the best we have. So for the Mechaber, this is the best you have to shoot for. Is, you know, big people that have authoritative power. Bezdin of America. Right. So we have to have a Bezdin that at least is perceived to have some form of a power. Now, how do you do this? So you look in Shulchan Aruch is very clearly. Zeu gufish aprusbal. Masrani lechem pleni, adayonim shemakim pleni, shekochoiv sheyeshli, shagvenu kozman sheetzev, adayonim, ayo edim chayismu vamata. They basically say that I'm giving over all my debt. We'll read over here. Anan, Sahadi, your witnesses, eich shabal fenenu, that me pleni, v'omalonu masrani ledayonim, I'm giving over to the dayonim. The three names are written here. Shekochoiv sheyeshli, b'shtar bein alpeh, shagvenu kozman sheetzev. It's mamish the words of the Shulchan Aruch. That's the end of the whole principle. Now, again, technically, you could write this yourself. You don't need this fancy paper that they gave over here. And then you have three, you put the date. You should put the date on. That's important. And then you have three witnesses. If you see over here, they put in parentheses because the Shulchan Aruch says two or three. So they give you three, but the last one's in parentheses. If you can only get two, that's also fine. Now, what? Only has two. Right? Shulchan Aruch says two or three. What do you mean undo it?
Well,
you want what? Now, but Besdin gives you permission. Besdin gives you permission to collect the debt on their behalf. So you're collecting your own debt on behalf of Besdin. It's a funny thing. Now, very halachah l'maisa. First of all, what about doing prusbal at night? Important. What about doing a prusbal at night? So we know hataras nedarim you're allowed to do at night. We spoke about that in previous years. What about prusbal b'layah? This is a big machlokes. It's not posh. If you look over here, I just quoted some sources. Number 18, the Sefer Mishmer Shvius, he writes, "Sivase belayla prusbal medina mutal kaisa belayla meikar edin." You can do a prusbal at night. The visha ain din el mirak mesiris achoyv lebezin. You're not doing a court case. You're giving over debt. That's not a court case. The yesh and istabku b'zeh, there are those that are more machmir, so therefore better not to write it at night. Again, if you wrote it at night, it would be acceptable, but better not to. They quote b'shem Yashiv. The Yashiv says, kivin she'en kan din el mesir lebezdin, pruzbo nechta b'layla. But since the arsemeach was mesupik, but that's what, no, when you write it with yedim, that's what makes it. So when you write, meaning, let's say tonight after shir, you guys want to write amongst yourselves, it's better not to. It would be better not to. Avad, it would be chal, it would work, but it's better not to. Again, some people are totally makel, even the chadchil, but Rabbi Yashiv said that since the Meir Simcha was mesupik, it's better not to. Maybe. It could be, it works. Yeah, it might work. It might work, yes, yes, yes. But again, lechatchila, we'd like to write that. Now, what about relatives? Let's say, for example, I want to have my brother sign on the shtar. I want, or I want my brother, let's say I'm brothers to Reb Shlomo Miller, or I'm related to Reb Shlomo Miller, so he's on the Bezdin. So that's also a question over here. So if you look at number 20, they write, Dayonim Shein Kraven L'mal V'Leiva. Let's say, it's pretty funny over here, because these three Rabbonim just gave us permission to use them as a Bezdin. How do they know that one of the debtors might be a brother of theirs? Yeah, that's very open-ended. So they don't know. Maybe one of the people of the debtor is their cousin, brother, son, keep it simple. So they write over here, many people say it's okay. Rabbi Yashiv
writes over here, the Dayanim should not be relative to Malva
in order so it should be a legitimate Bezdin. Now, when to write this? So if you look over in the Dvar Avram writes that they used to start writing principles starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul. That's a little risky because you can incur debt anytime after Rosh Chodesh Elul. The accepted practice today, if you look over in number 23 from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Shari Alach Uminek, he says today the practice is we write it on Erev Rosh Hashanah because we don't want you to forget. So we do it right after Atar Sadar, and this way you don't forget. We do it right after Erev Rosh Hashanah. Nita Gavriel writes, even if you say, I have no debt, I don't owe anyone money. And best case scenario, I owe someone money. So I don't want a prosbul. You still should write a prosbul. So every Jew should write a prosbul. And then we'll just end off. There's a practice from the Ben Ishkai. The Ben Ishkai says that after you write a prosbul, you should go and make a loan to someone. And let that loan run out and have Shemitah that way. Meaning if I have a $10,000 loan, I want that prosbul. Then I go over to a guy down the block. Hey, want to borrow $2? Here's $2. And then that will, I'll let Shemitah knock off. This way I'm being Mekayim, the din of Shamot. But it's not costing me too much at the bank. So the Ben Ishkai writes such a practice. Shmuel Vozer does not like this practice. He thinks we're setting ourselves up for, you know, making it like it's a thing. You have to do this. You don't have to do this. But I don't know if the Sfaradim will do this, but the Ben Ishkai records such a practice that right after you make your prosbul, go out and make a loan. He says that some people used to do it with the women. Right after, go borrow or lend flour or an egg. This way you can have what for Shemitah to be chas. Do you need to write a prosbul? We all encourage it. If you didn't write the prosbul, it's probably not the end of the world. But Lamaisa, we should all use whichever bezin you have. Moshe Weiss's document said, hey, you can use this document. I'm sure the Rabbinical Council of America use whichever. Just get it done, get it done properly. And this way, we're Mekayim, this Takanas of Hillel. Yeah, okay, everybody say, we'll see each other, Mitzvah Shem.
We're going to agree that the shiur is going to start at 8:15.
Right.
So that we could have a mile.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Whatever mile is that?
Yes, yes.
I think 8:15 is better.
Which one do you want? You can keep it. I have another copy at home. You keep the whole thing.
No,
I don't need it. Keep it. I have an entire copy on. Good Gibbenshire, everyone. Everyone, good to see everyone.
Okay. Yeah, we have a good Gibbenshire.
Have a good Gibbenshire. All the best. Oh, good Gibbenshire, everyone.
No, I asked Rabbi because of the Friday part. I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, you can have that.
Yeah, very good Gibbenshire.
This year. Okay, so now that Stu made the announcement, said, I'm going to make it on the 25th for now.
Okay.
There's no Halachshir next week.
Nothing goes up.
I made the nothing till after soon. Right, so then I'm going to change the tape.
Very good.
Okay,
good to meet you. All the best.
Good to meet you. Sorry you couldn't make it.
We're done here.
See, I have a good to meet you.
I guarantee.
I'm not worried.
The next year will not be till after Sukkot, right? Yeah, Baruch Hashem.